The text of our message today is taken from Matthew chapter 16, 1 to 12. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, and ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves? Because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, but ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word. We have been studying the book of Matthew, and so far we have come to the end of chapter 15, but now I intend to resume speaking out of the Gospel of Matthew. And today the title of my message is that without recognizing Jesus to be the risen Savior, the Pharisees, the Jews, are blind guides of the blind. When they wanted a sign from Jesus, that is, they wanted him to show a miracle to prove himself, Jesus answered them that they know how to note the signs of the skies. When it is red clouds in the evening, then you say next morning will be fair weather. And if it's in the evening, red and cloudy, you will say next morning there will be rain. And I have learned from my grandfather a couplet in Teochew. Very interestingly, the same idea as it is given in the Bible. If you understand Teochew, you may learn this rhyme. Mehung, mehung, that's getting dark. Mehung ang hung, the red clouds. Mung ki lo, next morning dew. Mung ki ang hung, make him whole. This morning you have red clouds, then you expect to have rain tonight. So Jesus tackled the Jews. Jesus never let them go, especially they are argumentative. You can see these signs from the skies and you cannot see the signs of the times. That the Savior has come. The kingdom of God is near. So Jesus led them with a challenge. There is no sign that I can give you unless it is a sign of Jonah, who was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the big fish, and how he came out alive. In the same way, the Son of Man was crucified, dead and buried, and then he came out alive. Did the Jews believe in the resurrection of Jesus? By no means. How terrible it is when the Savior is come and you hear of him and you see him and you see the miracles that he has done, so many, and yet you don't believe. The greatest of miracles is none other than his resurrection. I had a teacher, an American bishop in the Anglo-Chinese school, who taught me English. But later on it was reported to me that in Kuching he preached on Jonah, and he said, if you believe that the whale swallowed Jonah, you can also believe that Jonah swallowed the whale. This is a ridicule of our Savior's resurrection. It really surprised you, these modernist missionaries, and I lived in that time, they didn't believe a single thing of the miraculous nature concerning our Lord. To prove to you that the whole lot of them disbelieved the resurrection of our Lord, there was a professor of theology in a modernist seminary in New York, and his name was Dr. Van Dusen. When he had reached the age of 80-odd, and I believe he had some pain of the body or sickness, and the wife also, he made up his mind with his wife one night to take an overdose of sleeping pills. And so the next morning they found both husband and wife dead, for they had committed suicide. If they believed the resurrection of Jesus Christ, they would not have taken such a sorry step. How sad it is. But the disbelief in regard to the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ spread even to the disciples of Paul. And Paul warned Timothy to watch out for two people. One is called Hymenaeus, the other is called Philetus, who, having said that there is no resurrection, had spoiled the faith of some. And in the epistle to the Corinthians, verse 15, Paul says, why do some of you also say there is no resurrection? If you say that there is no resurrection, you are still dead in the sins. And he rebuked them, that Christ truly arose from the dead. That is why it is a good thing for us to have our Easter sunrise service. I know of a theological college that they had the sunrise service, but after some time they discontinued. Is it because of some professors coming in who did not take it seriously, and so they drop it out? But there are some from us who have declared that we should not have the Easter sunrise service. Every Sunday is the same. And they said that, well, Easter is a heathen word, and so we will not have any Easter celebration. But I am so glad. For 52 years, we started our Easter sunrise service at the MacRitchie Reservoir, and we continue to this day now in our own church compound. So I ask you a question. In view of the fact that in the time of Paul, there were those who did not believe the resurrection, are there some of you also not believing the resurrection? That is a very plausible question, reasonable. But if you are still not believing the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. Christ did not rise for you. Your sins are not forgiven. But if you look at the Acts of the Apostles, you find that every sermon preached by the apostles in the very beginning and right on in the Acts was about the risen Savior, the power of the risen Savior. So that one day 3,000 and 5,000 were saved. I want you to look up the passages. And many who were sick in the body and the souls were healed by the apostles, were given the special power so that some of them would bring the sick to the open, hoping that the shadow of Peter would pass on them and they would be healed. Of course, that is their superstition. At any rate, many, many people were healed and saved by the power of the resurrection message. But the Jews, they did not believe the resurrection of our Lord, but they disbelieved the miracles. What a sorry thing. There was a man who was born blind, and Jesus told him to go and wash at the pool of Siloam. And when he was able to see, these Jews knew them very personally. That it cannot be the same person. I mean, ask their parents. I mean, ask himself three times. And the man born blind gave the witness that it was Jesus who healed him. But the Jews still would not believe, not only doubted, but disbelieved. They will not consider. So, I would like to tell you that our young church that was formed in 1950 was still under the influence and part control of the missionaries. And how sad it was. We had to fight with them. I have my 52 years in the arena of faith, starting from the beginning when the Bishop of Singapore maligned us that we are extremists, that we make the mistake of believing every word of the Bible. If you did not read, henceforth I ask you to read the battles that we went through. Being influenced and controlled by the modernists. That was in the last generation. Modernism has been conquered by the witness of fundamentalism. But now, there comes up a new brand called neo-evangelicalism. And they believe in the limited inerrancy of the scriptures. The doctrines are all right, but there are errors in the Bible. And so we have to take a stand for the faith, for the truth. How do we know you are a good interpreter of the Bible? The way you react to the present war intentions of President Bush. We know that in many cities, 1 million people would hold a rally against him. I'm a Christian and I'm not for war. I will not press for an attack on Iraq. But I'm also a believer of the Word of God. And there is a prophecy in Revelation 9, 13 to 16, that it will happen in the river Euphrates, which is modern day Iraq. And there will be a last war erupting from there. When they take seriously the Word of God, I would say on one hand, I'm not for war. On the other hand, I must submit to what the Bible has said. And we believe in the risen Savior. That's the point. He is alive. And He's the coming judge. And He's the coming king to rule over the whole world with 1,000 years of peace. So, I realize that there is a higher hand of God, the prophecy that says, and it is true, I cannot oppose it. I must bend to the will of God. In these days, what must the preachers tell you? When I preach on the coming terrible times, and those of us in Singapore so comfortable, we do not take it seriously. But I take it seriously. Then I shall tell you how to be saved. It is not easy for some person to be saved if the Word of God will go in 1 year in, 1 year out, year in and year out. But I must tell you, the first thing is to get ready in order that we may be saved, and saved in a very most wonderful way. He is the Savior who died for us and rose again on the third day. He is now the coming judge. And when He comes, He will cause the graves to open. Christians will have new bodies and arise to meet the Lord in the air. And we who are alive will be changed. We will not die. And will be caught up in the rapture. That is the word. Forcefully, strongly, grab up from the earth into the sky. What a wonderful thought it is. You believe me, you'll be saved. As simple as that. You believe all the facts. Let me tell you, the great sadness I had about 10 years ago, I went to the funeral of my younger brother, number two. He was a doctor. And the preacher of the church kept on eulogizing him, that he was such a good man and all that. And when we got to the grave site, he said the same thing. And I was so worked up in, I thought of going up there and grab hold of the microphone and say a few words. But I'm glad I spoke at one of the vigil service, and all the people appreciated my message. My message was to testify the fact that my brother had been born again and accepted the Lord at the age of 12. I was 15 at the Great Singapore Pentecost by Dr. John Soong, when many people, about 2,000, were saved. To tell them that my brother is now in the Lord, and if you are not sure, it's high time for you to believe. But that was not said. As now we come to the exposition of Jesus at Matthew chapter 24, about the last days and the things that will happen before he comes. He says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He tells us, what is needed today is to send out the salvation message and to extend the kingdom of God, of Christ. In these days, you still think you're making more money playing shares, investing in property. It's a very silly thing. The most thing, important thing that we should be concerned is the extension of the gospel. And it does not mean that it must extend to everyone in the world, not that. But the whole point is, God will see whether we are faithful and occupying till he comes. Singapore has 15% about who are Christians, including Roman Catholics. 85% have still not heard. And what are we doing about it? This idea has come to me very strongly of late. It's like what Dr. Johnson said, Sing Wang Fu In, promote the gospel. That's why he got his preaching bands to promise going out Sunday afternoon to witness the non-Christians, that they may be brought into the kingdom. That is what it means. God wants to see us whether we are faithful and occupying and doing his regular business and increasing it or not. The conclusion is, those church leaders, they have no concern for the extension of God's kingdom. And they can make a lot of pronouncements and even criticize those who are telling that Jesus is coming, we must be prepared for the rapture. And they say, you are only scaring us. Leaders of the church who do not wake us up, but go on plan, they are no better than the Pharisees and Sadducees, who not only did not believe in the resurrection of Christ, they did not believe any miracle And so Jesus renounced them to be a wicked generation, vipers and snakes. I pray that we will all be concerned. For example, going to Kota Tinggi is a wonderful experience for many, because two sisters, realizing that English is now much appreciated in Malaysia, opens an English Sunday school that in a matter of 3 months we have got over 40 to 50 coming to the Sunday school. That is a good illustration for the times in which we live. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, be with us and open our eyes. Help us not to be taken by the world, but rather to be concerned and involved in the work thou hast given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.